Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
For our listeners who don't have the beauty of the video chat we're on, Dean, your hair and glasses, what a look for you.
What's that cook's name that I got?
Guy Fieri.
He's a little bit higher. He's a little bit more than a cook.
But. So who do I got now? I got Guy Fieri and William Shatner. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. Two people to really...
It's like William took a
look like
Shatner.
Too late, anyways.
Ooh, okay.
How's it going, Donnie? Hey, let's talk about you first, because we never talk about you first. Why don't you give us an update on Kelowna, bud?
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate that a lot. Kelowna, yeah. So the Pirates were there. We won Kelowna, first time we've ever won Kelowna. And we've competed in that tournament in 15 years. We played Souk in the final. It was a fantastic run tournament. Rich Haldane always does a really good job. There was a bit of an upset, actually, in the semis. Irma lost to Bo Thomas and Pegwis. And Pegwis had booked all their flights for Monday morning and couldn't play in the semis. So we played Souk in the final. And I got to say that there is a couple stories. We had a couple guys, like Mason played for us this weekend. And what a professional hitter Mason is. Not bad, yeah. Had a couple young guys from the Lower Mainland jumped in. But we had Zach Pierce and Pat Burns throwing for us in the final, and Scott Life for Souk. So arguably three of the hardest throwing pitchers in the country. Pretty early in the year to see that kind of velocity. So it was a good test for the guys, and we performed well. We were missing guys like, you know, Braden Arcand is reffing the RBC in Estevan, so he wasn't there. So a few guys that we didn't have, but for the most part, a good look at our IC roster heading down. It was good. I mean, Kelowna is a beautiful place to play ball. I do have to say, it's a curse. My flight, boys, I get through security, get to my gate. There's a call on my phone from an unknown number, which I won't answer because who knows who it is, because it's unknown. And then I get an email saying your flight has been changed to Friday morning, 6:30 a.m. And I'm like, huh, that's odd. Get to the gate, and the poor WestJet lady is fielding. It looks like the New York Stock Exchange on the floor. People are just standing in front of her, holding things and freaking out. And so the people ahead of me, she got them on a flight from Edmonton to Vancouver, Vancouver to Kelowna, got them there at 8 o'clock, which would have been worked fine. We had a 9 o'clock game. They got the last two seats. So it is what it is. She was super helpful. Shout out, honestly, to this lady at WestJet, because her job, that would have been a terrible two-hour window, I'm sure. She didn't cancel the flight. I have no idea what happened. But I walked across, stayed in the airport, went to the Renaissance Hotel, got to watch the Oilers game. It had some room service. It was actually not so bad. But I had to be at the airport at 4 a.m. And I'm not a 4 a.m. guy. It's too much. So it was a struggle. Struggle Saturday. And of course, get to Kelowna, it had rained, and we played our final game on Saturday. It started at 10:30 at night, so it was a pretty long day, but overall, can't complain about the fact that the boys won the championship in Kelowna, so pretty happy. Yeah.
Hey, so I heard all that, and through the whole thing, I'm thinking, Dean and I are now officially
old. Oh?
And here's my thought process on that. There's a few podcasts back, maybe, I don't know, whatever the number was. Your team wants to go to do the Masters in Red Rock or whatever.
Carson.
Carson City, yeah. And you said, hey, we're going to ask you boys to go to that.
We still are.
Yet you're short going to Kelowna, and you pick up a couple young guys from the Lower Mainland and not two old guys from Saskatchewan. So, I mean, I appreciate it.
What are you talking about?
Not
you actually think you're going to go compete at that level? Wake up.
We did compete at that level last year.
Come on, dude.
We played Souk in the final.
Yeah, we don't have to. As soon as we get a hit, we don't have to run anymore. We can put pinch runners in all the time.
Stop it. Stop it.
Okay, well, just give your head a shake because we're not even close to that.
You don't have to run anymore. You don't have to run anymore. Everybody else has to run. Anyways,
no,
what I'm saying is, I'm not saying we should be playing at that level. What I'm saying is, we're officially old.
Well,
oh, so it's correct. Okay.
Yeah, it's correct.
I mean,
we're officially old.
You're not complaining.
No.
Let's be very clear, though.
I'm going to be so sore after playing. Are you kidding me?
All right. Well, there we go.
To be fair. I will say the Pirates are in a bit of a transition. We have a lot of younger guys. We got some guys my age. I agree. If it were me running the team, I would have asked you guys first. And Dean would have probably said exactly what he just said. No, thank you. Tosh, you probably would have came. Would have been nice. Here's the deal, though. Okay, well, I would have asked. Here's the thing. Yeah. We talked about our Carson City roster, and everyone who was there discussed Scott Galanza, Todd Williams, Shane Milligan, myself. Can we get Rich Haldane, Scott Nehi? Would Dean and Tosh come with us? That was a very legit conversation.
How old do you have to be?
You have to be 40.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And so.
Did that 13 years ago.
but you know what? That's no different than Masters now for us. We're competing against the kids still. And I say that tongue in cheek, of course. But yes. No, I was making reference to the point that, yes, we are old and you did make the right decision.
Yes.
Not in one way, shape, or form did I think we should be playing at Kelowna. No shot.
I would have liked it.
No chancey, Mr. Whalen.
Well, keep this in mind. This is now being broadcast. That we have a verbal offer, and we'd like to hear back from you before the next cast what your plans and intentions are for Carson City.
What's the weekend?
I want to say it's the end of September.
Probably not.
No. I appreciate how early you said no.
Probably not.
I want it on the record that, Dean, we're only going to ask you to throw a couple innings at a time. And we'll use a rotation system where you don't have to feel like you have to throw every inning of every game, and you'll be fine.
You know what? You could have them at. Hey, Dino, just bring your big glove. Bring the big glove.
Well, here's the thing, guys.
One soccer.
So this podcast is a little bit of an update, and we might even shed a little bit of light on maybe some of the tournaments, maybe that we might be going to this year, because we have all that set.
Yeah,
and that
is
a real big relief on. Because that's the biggest headache is not the headache, but yeah, it's a headache. You got to go through.
It's the algebra problem of the process.
Right. But
yeah.
I'm just saying after it's done, man, does it feel good to be able to look at it and go,
looking at it now at hotels and stuff, which is probably 2 months ahead of where we normally are. So
yeah. So that being said, my first answer to playing more ball, more weekends is usually no.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I look at this, I'm looking at this thing right now, this calendar, and it has none of our winter training or any camps or anything like that on it. It's just got our team stuff, and holy smokes, are we busy.
Mm-hmm.
So
and indeed you are,
good
Dean,
news.
You got to do something for yourself once in a while, you know? You got to take a moment.
I guess what he's saying, Donnie, is you're not going to Carson City either.
We got something on that weekend, bud. We got practices.
Well, I mean, if we have instituted the new rule: if you're not there for everything, you don't go to Vegas. So
whatever. Let's just look here. I got
it's
it.
Your call.
September.
It's your decision.
Well, here it is. Team practice weekend, September 30th and October 1st. So if it's the very last weekend, that's not going to work. And if it's the weekend before that, we've got team practices as well, 23, 24 in September.
We have 3 weekends in a row, right?
No. Weekend, then we got a weekend off, then we got 2 weekends in a row.
So it wouldn't be the 23rd then and the 30th.
That's 1 weekend. That's 1 week.
That's the back-to-backers.
Yeah. Okay. There's a week, and then there's... there's 2 weeks, and then there's...
It's all good. It's all good. We digress. Nobody wants to hear about our lack of playing career.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so a couple updates. This show, no guests today, so we don't have to worry about Jen Snelling coming in too early or, you know. But what it is a bit of an update show. Plus, we want to talk about every year we send out an email to our parents from the traveling teams. Where we ask for feedback. And this year we asked feedback on practices, so the practice weekends and the new regional practices that we instituted. We looked for feedback on the mental performance training with Carissa Johnson. We looked for feedback and recommendations on the strength and conditioning program that was new this year with Craven Sports Sciences. And then we wanted some feedback and recommendations on improvements. And when I say recommendations, it's their thoughts on how can we improve the program, because that's what we're always trying to do, on tournaments and, locations, time of year, a accommodations, that sort of thing. So everything kind of falls under the umbrella of tournaments. And then anything else they wanted to talk about. So we got our feedback. Sid compiled everything, and we have all that. So that's going to be the bulk of our show, is kind of addressing that stuff. But I think for the update part, we have four things that we, you know, want to talk about, keep front of mind. Yes, is it four things, Dino?
Bigger? Yeah, well, four or five.
Yeah.
Not great at math.
No. So the first thing is heading out to Kelowna again for their spring tournament, their U17A spring tournament. We're going to promote our camp that's happening out at the end of July that we already have registrations for, and we haven't even advertised it yet, which is really cool. So that's at the end of July, the Tuesday, Wednesday, I believe, 26, 27 of July. So right after Tues Week. We want to talk about Tues Week. The registrations are flying in. Like, it is awesome. We are at the point where the registrations are at where they were last year already, and we got 2 months to go. So we can add.
So we're gonna have to do some quick math though, to see if, you know, we'll have to see where our room is. And so, I mean, for people that are looking to register, register now.
Yeah.
Like, don't wait for a month, because who knows, we may have to close it off.
Yeah, for sure. So we're really excited about that, because that's always an opportunity. For those of you that don't know about Tues Week, we did it last year for the first time. It's a station camp, which is awesome. We do some strength and conditioning stuff. We do some mental training stuff. We do some chalk docs. But we have our alumni come back. Our college kids are coming back and doing some instructing, which is awesome. Yeah, so we're really looking forward to seeing those players come back, and some of them we haven't seen since last Tues Week. So look forward to that. So again, Tues Week is July 18 to 21. It's 4 days, all day long. There's the three components where we have the rookie camp for those under U11, which is the morning from 9 till 12. Then we have the take it to the next level, which is 9 till 2. And then we've got the college prep camp, where we have our older kids plus all of our instructors that want to get into doing the rotation drill and all those great drills they did as a two. We work them through and get them ready to send back to college. So really cool. We had great reviews last year on it, and we're pretty excited about it this year. And of course, we'll have the store there with some new items. And yeah, we're really excited. That's wicked awesome. And I'll just keep talking, because apparently I'm the only one that's going to talk.
You're doing great. What am I going to do? Interrupt you?
You were on a roll, Tosh. I do have a question, though.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know the answer, but I'm going to throw it out there. Yeah. Obviously, there's a list of alumni from the 01 team that has started, but there's another year of girls who have now gone south. Any new additions to the group?
Twos and threes, right?
Yeah. So we'll have ones, twos, and threes, or even before that. Right, because we do have some people before that are still around. However, they're probably instructors already. Grace Pollen, for sure, coming back. We know that. Depending on other stuff that's going on in her world, maybe, you know, hopefully Jordy Chartrand, some of those names. And I don't want to get into it because I might forget somebody.
Right.
But that you forgot
17 people.
17 people. So every year we actually have a new set of instructors. Every grad class that goes away and comes home is a new set of instructors. And we're going to miss some kids. We don't know. And again, I don't want to speculate too much, but we know that Brooke Malnichuk had an injury this year, so we don't know if she'll be able to come back. So it's just as they kind of get into their lives, or injury rehab, or jobs, or then we replace with the next group. So pretty exciting. It's going to be awesome. And I always love hearing back from the kids that have just gone to school and are coming back and get there. You know, you've seen a few already, Donnie, that are back in,
yep,
on your team. So it's pretty cool to see that. So that's Tues Week. Tryouts filling up again.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where without getting too much detail, we've added tournaments, which means we've added opportunity. So there will be space, if you will, for some new players. And we're really looking to have those younger kids. I mean, all ages, obviously, but the younger kids, right? those nines, those tens, those 11s. Those are the ones we really want to come out, because we have some amazing opportunities for kids of that age, not only to obviously train all year, but we've added some tournaments in that age category. So it's going to be pretty awesome to get some of those kids out. If you're at a point of looking to get into the twos program at a younger age, this would be the year for sure.
Yeah, it's an advantage for you.
Yeah, for sure. And that's happening the last two weekends in August there in Saskatoon. You only got to go to one.
Edmonton, the 23rd and 24th of August.
Right. So during the week in Edmonton, more details to come on that. But again, it's a good problem, and we don't want anybody to miss out, right? So as they start to fill up, we just keep pushing it. And I know that it seems like it's a long ways away, but the thing too is you should be preparing for those tryouts now in order to give yourself the best opportunity to make the teams. You should be working towards that now. So if you're working towards it, then you might as well register. Right.
Yeah. Well, young ones at that age, they're going to have to start playing with that 12-inch ball. That's
a big thing
for some of them. And, you know, that you don't want to mess up their summer season with, you know, trying to do both. But at some point, you know, I think the people that are, especially pitchers, I'm saying, like, mm-hmm. if you're looking to be an elite pitcher one day, moving to the big ball a little sooner, if it throws off your summer season at U11, but it, you know, it helps you in the long run, then, you know, that's the way I look at it. You know, we always think in the moment, you know, oh, it's going to hurt my U11 provincials or whatever. And mm-hmm. I don't know.
The one I like in the moment is, do you golf? No, I don't golf because it hurts my swing. Does it? It's two different swings. Mm.
I say I don't golf because it hurts my swing, but I just actually suck at it. So
you don't golf because you have a terrible swing?
Exactly.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
That's essentially it, yeah. Oh. And I hope it's not a terrible swing for both, because Tosh did just say it's two different swings, but there's some similarities, and if I suck at one, I'd like to not suck at both. So let's.
Well, there is. Some people bat right and golf left.
Yeah.
You know, and if that's the case, then I don't think it really bothers you.
No, and you're right. There's similarities. You got a stick in your hands. Yeah. That's right. That's the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rotate.
No, I don't. I haven't bought into that yet. But.
Well, that's probably, and I imagine, and hearing from you guys' best of 100 over the course of the winter, it sounds like you're a pretty good golfer, Tosh. So, and we all know you're a great hitter. So,
well, So Patty, right. My brother, right? We do a brotherly thing every couple weeks. So we went out to Warman. We went out to Legends on Saturday. Long weekend. Going to play around. And, you know, we always joke about this, me and Dino, that I get into his kitchen. That's what I do. I'm really good at getting in his kitchen, banging the pots and pans. And, you know, he tried to get into mine.
Interesting. No.
He did so. On the way out, he goes, so what are we playing for? And we usually play for lunch. And I said, well, maybe the usual or whatever. And he says, I said, have you been golfing much? I said, I've only been out one time since, you know, I went golfing with my son earlier on, you know, maybe a month ago. He goes, yeah, I was out yesterday. I said, oh, right on. He goes, yeah, I shot 80. See, trying Ooh. To get into my kitchen, mm. trying to get into my kitchen. Mm-hmm. Didn't work, mind you.
Oh, no. Did you beat him?
I did so by 3 strokes. Oh, it was awesome. Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. That's why I'm talking about on the podcast, because I probably will never talk about beating my brother at golf again, because it just doesn't happen.
So did he shoot a 90?
I shot an 82. He shot an 85.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
It's not bad. It's not good enough, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
So, and then the last thing that I want to maybe touch on real quick, because we haven't done a lot of advertising on that, but tickets are on sale, and we've already sold some tickets, and we haven't advertised it yet, is the celebration tour. The Women's National Team Celebration Tour coming to Saskatchewan right after the Canada Cup. Team Canada is coming, and this is the big Team Canada is coming on the Monday. They'll be in Saskatchewan for the whole week. They're going to play in Melfort on the 29th. They're going to play in PA on the 30th. And then on Canada Day, they're going to play in Saskatoon. So they're playing a doubleheader in Melfort, a single game in PA, and a doubleheader in Saskatoon. And they're playing the Czech Republic. So a team that is on the rise And it's a really cool opportunity for people to come out and celebrate not only the bronze medal, because half the team is still there, plus, you know, Kaylee Rafter, Jen Salling, Chris Jones, two players and a staff member all back as well. So there'll be lots of autograph sessions, and it's just an opportunity for the country and for softball fans to really come out and celebrate that bronze medal and have a situation where you get to rub elbows with some of the best players on the planet. But the real cool thing is half the team will be new, and there could be some familiar faces, right? So it's going to be a real cool transition period for the senior team. And that's coming through Saskatchewan. The last time the senior team, I believe, was in Saskatchewan was the Worlds in 2002.
Well, we have some great parks in Saskatchewan, right?
Yeah. Like,
It is pretty awesome to know that we're going home.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Melfort, and they're going to do we're going to put on a great show there. The park is awesome to watch ball in. Yeah. The people that obviously get their tickets a little earlier, they can, you know, get their grandstand tickets, but there's a thousand other spots to watch, you know, bring your lawn chairs. And I think, let's jam that place and, support our team. So I can't wait. Sure. It's going to be awesome.
So tickets, if you want advanced tickets, we're only selling a limited number to sit in the grandstand behind home plate prior to. And if you do not hold a ticket, an advanced ticket, you won't be sitting there. Like Dino said, those are $20. You can get them online at twosfastpitch.com.
Say it's on the store.
Okay.
It's on the store.
Say exactly. You just did.
Well, I'm just, you know, just head to the website. They won't be able to find it unless they know it's on the store. So let's make sure that, click on the store.
We could put a banner or something on the website that said, hey, if you're looking for tickets, go to the store.
Huh? That'd be a great idea.
Or a link even, Tosh.
Or a link even.
We'll send an email out to
you. Yeah, for sure. And it'll be on our social media. And the other place is our friends over at George Home Hardware in Melfort. They always step up and help sponsorship with events like this. Shout out to Melody Motors, who is the presenting sponsor of this trip, and more sponsor information to come as we go. So those are kind of the four things that we're promoting through the summer, and pretty excited.
To that point, Tosh, the Czech Republic on the men's and women's side have to be one of the most improved nations in softball for sure. Like they're both.
Yeah.
Both sides are really jumping the rankings, so it'd be nice to see that level of ball in those parks. Like you said, Melfort is awesome. PA just redid their parks. Beautiful. And, of course, we all love the complex at Gordie Howe. So, awesome. Yeah, get your tickets. Get them early. And if you don't get a ticket, go stand around the fence. Fill that place. Give the girls a proper welcome and a proper show. All right. So, one more question before. Let's go back. That weekend in two weekends it may be in Saskatoon. That's before September long, correct?
Correct. It's the last two weekends in August.
Okay.
Are you talking about tryouts?
Tryouts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you guys are going to Newfoundland, I assume.
Yes. It looks that way. Yep.
If we win provincials.
Yeah. Well, you got to plan. You got to plan for it, obviously.
No, you don't have to win provincials.
No, you have to win provincials anymore. Whoever enters gets to go now.
Yeah. We'll be out there.
Crazy.
As well.
And so participation ribbons, everybody goes.
Everybody's a winner. It's nice.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll be going there. But that's the cool thing is the camp will be over on the Sunday. Phone calls start Monday. We'll be on a plane Tuesday or Wednesday. So the phone calls will
be lots of work going on.
Fast and furious. Yeah, there'll be lots of phone calls in Newfoundland.
I remember doing that in
Nova Scotia.
Grand Prairie too. Yeah.
I remember I got asked to make a few calls on my drive up to Grand Prairie. It was a pretty big honor, actually, to call someone and say, hey,
it is. It's awesome.
It is.
Those are good phone calls.
They are.
Always good phone calls.
Well, speaking of good feedback, good segue into
Ron McLean. Hey, Ron McLean, guy. That is really good.
Bring it back on the rails, boys. Okay. So I went through the email a little bit, obviously.
Yeah.
There's a lot to go through. And Tosh, you're gonna mediate and kind of direct us, and Dino, I'll just drop in some color. But obviously, there's a lot of information from a lot of parents who have a lot of strong opinions, and I want to get into it.
I think we just read some of them out, right? Like you said, Tosh, we're not gonna get too much
about.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
tell them what they're about?
Yeah.
I'm just saying we're not going to get too in detailed with the strength and conditioning program and the mental program, like specifics, just because it's not our company, it's not our program. Right?
Well,
it is in our program, but you know what I'm saying? It's not our business to
Okay, for those that don't know
to say things.
We're meeting with Bruce on Friday.
Yeah.
So we can't really talk about any improvements that we're doing because the meeting is happening on Friday. So Bruce is getting the feedback that we just got. And you know, we're gonna work together with him and Carissa. We're gonna meet with Carissa as well. And so that's why we're not gonna touch on the strength and conditioning of the mental so much, right?
When I was reading this and I was going through, and you can see some of the, you know, it's always, this was awesome, but have you ever thought of this, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's some of that stuff in there. And I, you know, for people that have been in the program for more than a year, you know, or they're repeat,
yeah,
you know, people coming back. And, you know, I remember us back in 5-6 years ago when we were practicing however many times, probably once a month, four times we practiced.
A year,
yeah,
four times in a year.
All winter.
Yeah.
And we just went down to the States. And so, I don't know, we have come a long way, and I think we're really, really proud of where we are. But we're always looking to get a little better, do a little thing. I just remember going to 5 different practice locations, or, you know, we'd be at one spot and then we'd be over at a different spot. And, you know, some of the things we're going to get to, you know, sometimes we get a little bit, we get a little, I don't know, we want more all the time. And so I see, you know, some of the things about, you know, one of the comments was about, can we get everything under one roof?
Right.
You know, we're building and we're adding so much to the program that, you know, it's hard to keep everything under one roof, you know,
right.
And I don't know. I think when people, I don't even think the complaints or the negative stuff was negative. You know, it's almost stuff that, that you can look up. But anyways, let's get into it. You give us a pick, start one, read one. Let's get
okay. So just to recap, the email goes out annually after the travel season is over. And then, and we've got a lot of responses, obviously the most kids we've had on the team. So that's the most responses we've had. And we basically ask about 4 things. We ask about practices. We ask about mental performance training. We ask about strength and conditioning. And we also asked about tournaments, which includes accommodations, everything like that. So, when we ask stuff like that, it's basically, you know, for the first part of it, it's, you know, for instance, I like the idea of adding regional practices this year and using those times for getting lots of reps. Full team practice weekends are also fantastic. Well-run practices. You really push the athletes, the more the merrier. Okay. So a lot of that stuff, and I don't want to get into us just pumping our own tires here or anything like that, but we do have well-run practices. But we're also looking for ways to improve. And one of the ways we're going to do that, I think, an improvement, and we talked to Dino and different instructors about it, is that when we come in for our first couple weekends, it's like throwing spaghetti at the wall, right? We're throwing a whole bunch of information, multi-positional cuts, bunt defenses, pitch outs, first and thirds, and we try to introduce all that, and we're trying to introduce it, you know, the catchers and the innies and the outies and the coverages. And what ends up happening is if we have 2 or 3 coaches out there, if we have to stop a drill because the catchers need more, then the innies and the outies are just kind of waiting for the catchers to get their feedback. So one of the things that we talked about, and I think we're going to do, is for the first 2 weekends, we're going to work
by position.
So all the outies, all the aged outies, doesn't matter what your age is, all the ages of innies, the outies are working together, innies are working together, pitchers are working together, catchers are working together. So that means that for infield stuff, say myself and Jay, and if I forget anybody, I'm just throwing names out, Sontag, whoever, doesn't matter. The ones that are working with the innies, we'll have 4 or 5 coaches out there working with just the innies. And we're still going to go through the same things. We're going to go through bunt defenses. We're going to go through first and third coverages. We're going to go through situational. We're going to go through tags, all that stuff. but it's only going to be the innies, and they're going to, that's who we're working with. And that's what the message is. It's all about the innie stuff. Okay. On the other side of the, yeah. And on the other side of the curtain, the outies will be doing the same stuff. They'll be talking about first and third coverages. They'll be talking about, you know, throws to the plate, cuts, all the stuff that the innies are talking about, the outies will be talking about.
Okay? Some of the younger ones that are in those groups can watch some of the older ones perform. Exactly. Like it's now it's.
And it's the same message all the time. It's the same song sheet. It's making sure that all the teams are on the same page. All the ages are on the same page. Pitchers working with Dino and all our pitching. So it could be, you know, Donnie and Dion and Kenzie and, you know, Britt, whoever. We have more pitching instructors per instructor in this company, by the way. Just saying. We do. But and then the catchers work together. Because one of the things we did hear back was, the catchers need a little bit more instead of just catching for the pitchers. And they do. Although catching for the pitchers is important because they still have to learn how to frame. They still need to learn that stuff. But there's other things that can be done. Absolutely. So the thinking is, the first two weekends we get together and do this, it's just positional stuff. But now I don't have to be on the floor when the pitchers are going, and Dino doesn't have to be on the floor when the outies are going. So that means we can do classroom stuff. So now all the innies can go into a classroom and we can do chalk talks with the innies and just make sure we're reiterating and highlighting some of the stuff that we just did or the stuff that we're going to do tomorrow, that sort of thing. So the learning process is going to be sped up, and we hope that the retention is there as well.
Another part of that learning piece you just talked about, Tosh, and a really good point is if outies are working on, if we're on a full field and we're working on cuts, there's a little bit more standing around for the infielders. And conversely, if we're working on double plays on the infield, there's a lot more standing around for the outfielders. So if we can get them into their groups and work with them and then bring them all together once we're all working, there's way less standing around time, which I think is a comment in one of these questions. There's very little downtime in any of these practices. We're constantly turning wheels. So really good idea there for sure. And not to pump your tires. But that's brilliant.
No, that's a group thing. That's not a me idea. That's an us idea. And the other thing too then is then on that last weekend, so the third weekend before we go to our first tournaments, then we bring everybody together. So now the catchers know exactly what they're supposed to be doing. The innies know exactly what they're supposed to be doing. The outies know exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Now we just put them all together. Right. So it's like that, building that Lego piece, you know, building it three at a time, four at a time, and then putting it together. So we're going to give it a go and try it. And if it works, then we know that we need to spend a little more time on the individual positional training. So, yeah. Awesome. Same with hitting. And it's the same with hitting, too. You know, we all got to get, not that we aren't, I think we are all on the same song sheet. But there's, you know, we talked about this before. We can't have, I can't, maybe you can't, Dino can't, Farron, whoever is helping with the hitting piece. If we get locked into one position at a BP, that's all we see. We don't get to see everything else. So maybe looking at rotating some coaches around so we can see other stuff, right? Kid comes to me and I'm seeing this, I'm thinking, well, why wasn't that corrected there? And vice versa. Right. So anyway, so just that we're really looking at how we do our practices, and it's all come about because we actually got to play games and we see how even more prepared we can be. And we see what are the points that are really important when we're playing games. And we were lacking in some of those key points. So we're going to nip that and make sure that we're not lacking in that anymore. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So here's that piece.
Here's one.
Yeah.
As for accommodations, for the length of stay, I'm not a great reader. For the length of stay of the two weekend tournaments, it would be nice to have a room or hotel that offers a kitchenette and laundry facility. Being able to have a kitchenette gives the families the option to cook their own meals and even have more meals together. We've been told and heard on the Two's podcast that teams who went down to Sacramento in March had a barbecue, fire pits for guests. That would be a home run to have that on our trips. And can the Vegas trip be longer? Okay, so I like that one. And I mean, we have talked about this quite a bit. And part of the, you know, idea with our tournaments, like we only have one tournament this year coming up that isn't a double. So everyone, it doesn't mean that everybody has to do two tournaments, like back to back, if that's not part of your schedule. But we're going to try to do that because that's Yeah, that's been the best result for us. But the only tournament that is a single tournament is Vegas. And the only reason now is because we can't, there's nothing around it to you know, to bump onto it kind of thing. So that's, and it's our, you know, it's kind of our staple. So, I mean, it's always been a week. I think we've actually added a day than what we previously did right at the very beginning. So,
And we can't have Razor in Vegas for 2 weeks. Yeah. That can't happen. No. Right.
But that being said, every hotel we try to get now with 2 weeks has always been, we'd like to have a kitchenette. We would like to have a, so it's good.
The only thing where that runs into issues with us is the stay in place. Right. Because if we go to a stay in play, then we have to go to the hotels that they're at. And we've talked about this before. If we don't go, we are fined basically. And we have to pay that. And if parents are okay with paying that, if we don't stay at a stay and play, then yeah, I'm totally for that. Yeah. And I think, and I'm guessing it didn't say, but I'm guessing that that was the probably the Irvine trip, right?
Yeah.
Or Georgia, because there were some parents that were able to get accommodation somewhere else. We didn't have to pay the thing because we didn't have enough.
It wasn't a pay to
stay away, and yeah, it wasn't a pay to play. So, and if it was Georgia, and if that was you, whoever it was that put that in, we are actually looking at that hotel across the street. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, so you brought up a good point. I want to bring up the U-12s last year. Biggest challenge for sure, coaches identifying players because we hadn't seen them before. But then also the parents, you know, if you look at our 18s and our 16s, they've been together for most of them for quite a while. The 12s. Haven't been able to. And if we were, if we can recall the first trip to California with the 12s, the parents got along like they were a high school reunion. It was fine. But I think a good point by whoever that parent was, that was a pretty big moment for the 12s in March to have a barbecue, to have everyone get out, to have a have everyone in the same room. As much as I prefer Jimmy John's or In-N-Out as much as we can, I think a group like that, getting everyone together and getting social, it really helps break down some of those, you know, shyness barriers, which, let's be honest, that group of 12 parents probably aren't the shyest. There are a lot of type A's in that group, a lot of bright orange personalities. But yeah. I think that really helps, and that's a really good point. Plus, I hear, who was the barbecue grill master? Was it Razor, or was it?
Well, we had a bunch. No,
several parents.
Yeah. Several parents, yeah. Mm-hmm. And just for that information, we have already booked rooms at the Element for all of our Sacramento trips.
Very nice.
That has already been taken care of. So yeah, I mean, and that's a good point. I think that you know, the more we can help the parents with the cost of everything, that's absolutely what we want to do. I'll read one here on recommendations or for us practices, because this is something that we can talk about for next year. Is there any weekend options for regional practices that, which would be ideal for those that still have to drive a few hours to attend one. You know, missing school is a big deal. And I, you know, they do say that they know field time is at a premium, and that's where it comes down to, is we sometimes want weekends, but we can't get them. I.e., it's hard for us to get weekend stuff, say in Edmonton.
October. Well, yeah, it's just, you know, it's certain just times hard of the year.
Because and what happens is we go to these facilities, and where we have weekends right now, say in Saskatoon or Edmonton or wherever, you know, we have facilities, we hold on to those things like they're gold. So if we're doing that, the other associations and sports groups that have weekends in those facilities are doing the same thing. So it's not just a matter of, we just don't get to come in and pick when we want to go. So we have to work around what we get. We've been really lucky and fortunate to have great relationships here in Saskatoon and Edmonton. So, and Moose Jaw.
Moose Jaw, Regina.
Yeah. But, you know, we basically get, you know, the weekends in Saskatoon because we've had them for so long. And we've had those weekends, those same weekends, since the facility opened. So that's the piece that maybe parents don't understand. I know you get it.
It's going to be improved on that this year. Like, I mean, we did You know, there was a few times where, you know, not everybody goes on each tournament, obviously. So there's still a lot of people attending a regional or an all teams practice. But last year we had a couple all team practices happen while we were on a trip with something with one of the teams. And we heard that from some of the parents that, you know, if we're going to be involved in these practices, we want to make sure we're there. And so that's, something that we definitely took care of this year. There is no all team practices. There will be maybe one or two regional practices at the same time, but that might not affect very many people in that area. So we have that plan and it's on the schedule. And the nice thing about this one too is last year when we went into our schedule, and there are a couple complaints about, you know, getting some things last minute or whatever, it's because we didn't have anything booked maybe after January. So we were still waiting on a few things. Mm-hmm. And then emails come at different times and somebody misses it. So the nice thing about what we have set up with our teams this year, there's everything's booked. Like every facility, everything, every time. So when, you know, when we're ready to launch that and let you know where everything's going and where we're, you're going to have every detail. So that's going to be looked after for sure.
Yeah. And that comes down to, yeah, once you get that phone call that your player has made a team or made a trip, then that is the very next thing that's going to come out is an email with all of that stuff on there, so you guys can and the parents can start planning. So, let's see here, Donnie, you got any? Or are you just?
Well, I'm just here for color. I did notice there was one comment that Donnie and Razor did a great job with a group.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to bring that up.
Well, it'd be hard not to. Yeah.
One comment, there's about 10 of them down there. Oh, Donnie and Razor, they were so fun.
That's true. We have referred to ourselves as the fun coaches, and that's probably a moniker that'll stick. Legends, I believe we were called by the 12s. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, Tosh, it's not about the tire pump necessarily, but it's also, in this case, a little bit about the tire pump for Razor and I.
Well, you know what though, and it's good that we get that feedback. I mean, yeah, we love hearing things back about how, you know, and let's face it. And again, I don't want to overstate it and make this big grandiose statement, but we have heard from parents that being involved in our program, being involved in the sport at an elite level, has changed some lives, and it's changed some directions in life where, you know, maybe we hadn't thought about going to school and now we know it's a possibility. And, you know, those are the stories, and that's the stuff that I really love to hear. Because I think that's the overarching message from our program is it's not just about softball. It's about hopefully building better teammates, better people, work ethics, goals. You know, it all comes into, and that's why sport is such an awesome vehicle thing for that.
Yeah.
Well, vehicle. You say thing. I come up with something harder.
Yeah, I was trying to help you. Yeah. I got one more thing here on scheduling. Yeah. Okay. This person was so nice. The only thing that could be improved is if Tews use an app like TeamSnap to schedule practices. You know, Craven and mental training. There were many emails last year, changes to the schedules and sometimes locations for regional practices. And I couldn't always find the latest email. And I know exactly what you're talking about because I was trying to find the latest email to log onto this thing. And I was a minute late today. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's definitely something we've looked at. We've looked at our own Tews app. We've looked at apps that are out there for scheduling already. We are looking at things. I don't know if we have the time to implement it by this coming season, but it's definitely on our plate. And I think the scheduling, like I said, with knowing we have everything right now, that's going to make it a lot smoother. But yes, an app, 100%, that'd be cool. You flip open your app, you know when you're, you know,
yeah,
strength and conditioning, your mental training, your practices, your regional practices, your tournaments, everything on the same. Yeah. That would be awesome. So
I agree. And if we do something like that, and our goal is to get to like a Team Snap or an app such as that, if we do that, which is the plan, my suggestion would be then that we disable the chat function only because my youngest son is on Team Snap with his lacrosse and with his hockey, and I'm getting constant bing, 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 because people are using that to communicate and tell jokes. And, hey, what about that? Bing, bing, on my phone constantly. So we would disable the chat function, I think.
Yeah.
Well, but no, I totally get that. Yeah. The one that I wanted to bring up here, just I'm going to find it here.
Hey, while you find it, I had a point, yeah, I wanted to make earlier. As much as I joked about the tire pump, a little thing we use in the with our friends at Original Joe's in the restaurant game is it's nice to hear good feedback. It makes you feel good. But we have to hear negative or improvement feedback because we don't know there's a way to be better or an opportunity to discover it. Mm-hmm. We'll never do it. So, yeah, it's awesome to hear that everyone thinks Razor's fun or whatever. But if there's things like this app, which I think is a great idea, when you get to the point where some of these things are out of your control, it's really easy to open up and here's the latest. And it's very hands off. And I know, mm-hmm, it becomes a lot of work for you guys to maintain that and for parents to try and keep track of it. And I know we've heard a few times from parents saying, oh, I didn't get the email. I didn't see the, well, here's a pretty easy checkpoint for everything. So yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah. And I agree. And I think that comes back to if we can have the schedules out right away. So as soon as you get a phone call, Donnie, and your player makes this team and we've offered this tournament and that tournament, then you know exactly when you're flying in, when you're flying out, the hotel you're going to, you know, all the practices, regional and the weekends. And if we can get all that done in one email, with rosters, so parents can, you know, that's the other thing. Parents would like rosters so they know who's going on this trip so they can communicate on either sharing rooms or sharing a rental car, all that sort of stuff. The more that we can have that packaged up and sent out right away, obviously the better. So our goal, I think, and I think Dino probably nod his head on this one, our goal is to have that ready to go, that everybody knows practices, tournaments, when we're in and out, all of that stuff they will know as soon as they make the team. And as far as rosters and hotel accommodations, that sort of thing, they will know that by mid-September. That's our goal, is to get all that stuff out so it's just done, right? So and people know the process that have been in the program for a while, that they know that. And we've had parents too where, you know, it's not a process where the phone calls come out and it's, you know, there's a lot of algebra going on. There's a lot of chess pieces moving around. For instance, you know, we called a parent one of the last calls last year, and that player was given or offered three tournaments. And because the call didn't come right away, they didn't know if they made the team. But because
they're quite concerned, yeah.
Yeah, so we have to wait to see, okay, well, if this person says yes, okay, then this person over here, we can slot them into this tournament. But if they say no, then we've got to put them over in this tournament. So sometimes the players that are making a team and getting tournaments, and we know that for sure, sometimes are the last call, because we may have to either add a tournament, we have to move right. them in a location just because of what everybody else has said. So
Don't read into it when
you get your call. That's exactly right. Just when you get it, you get it. Go ahead, Dino.
I got a mental one here. Because I'm just, you know, mental. Here's a question, or more of a statement. To continue developing players, would there be an opportunity for players to have supplemental mental performance training on a weekly or biweekly basis? And somebody also asked the same thing about strength and conditioning. And so basically, can we have more? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. And we hope you do. I mean, it's even with our program, if they go to every practice we do, you know, they take every swing we tell them to take, that's not enough. Right? So why do we think, you know, once a month or a couple times a month check in with mental training is enough? It's probably not. Like, we should be doing lots more on our own, or if, you know, and we've got good people to, you know, there's a lot of people taking private lessons, and I'm not promoting our private lessons because we're busy. It's really hard to get us for private lessons. So, I mean, that's part of, you know, just the fact of we're spread all over the place and we're busy. So
just, Sorry, yeah, Donnie. Just on that, Donnie. And that's part of the meetings. And I did. I had a conversation with a parent that didn't respond, but it was kind of the same thing. Craven and Carissa offer more stuff. Mm-hmm. What you get with us is what you pay for within your fees. If you want stuff over and above that, just like Dino said, private lessons,
please
or
do it.
Extra gym time or whatever it is, go for it. Right. And both Carissa and Craven Sports Sciences will offer that. So,
yeah.
I think a point, and that's really good, Dean, is I've heard it said before, and I know I say it to lots of kids, whether it's in a practice or a one-on-one session, is, hey, what you did here today was great, but what you do between the times I see you next is more important. Because if you only do what we ask you to do when you're in front of us, we're not going to get much better. So the same thing with mental training, weight training, everything. The more you do between to work on what we've worked on, the sharper you're going to be the next time out. And the kids have taken it pretty seriously. So that's you can do more. You can always do more.
I got one, and one, it was around camps and going to tournaments where there's colleges having camps around the same time. I like that idea. And the way we have set it up traditionally on our 2-week trips, especially, it'd be tough to do that on a 1-week trip, but on the 2-week trips, we've set it up where you get a day or two off, and then we're practicing and playing because, you know, that's why we're going. We're going to play games, and that's kind of the feedback we've gotten from parents. However, I'm not opposed, and it's something we can talk about, instead of a Wednesday night doubleheader, maybe we do see if we can set something up at a local college campus where we can get in on a Wednesday night and they run through a practice or whatever. It's all things that we're doing that we can absolutely do. But we just want to make sure that we're doing the best for player development with the time that we have. So that's why we play so many games and so many practices, but I don't think I'm opposed to looking into that. So we are looking into that.
Well, and it's a fine balance too, right? Like, I mean, people have, there is a bottom in pocketbooks, right? For some people, it's a lot different. Some people want more. Some people are stretched to the nines doing what they're doing right now. So we understand it's not, but you know, it we have to be able to try our best to accommodate as many people as we can, right? And give as much opportunity. I got one here that's kind of bad news for us on Tuesday, boys. Mm. You ready?
Yeah.
I don't like this already.
Well, I think it's, I'm reading between lines here, but I don't think they want to hear us anymore. You know, they want some other good people. So here's a good one. So yeah. Good day, twos. Our feedback is referring to the last two podcasts with Hacksaw and Larissa Franklin. Wow. That was just fantastic content, and I applaud you guys, which is not about us guys, but for identifying those types of topics. This was our daughter's first year in the program as a 14-year-old, and a big part of her positive experience was learning about the different sides to being part of a high-performance club. For kids and parents, that is so important to hear from young Canadian softball players. So speaking for my own daughter, she wants to know what they look like, see how they play, hear their voices, just like you would with many other high-profile athletes. So that's awesome. We got to get
that is awesome.
We got to have more athletes on here, definitely. I think.
Right? Well, and I think too, we hit the trifecta with Grace, with Frankie, and then with J-Cell as well. Oh, yeah. Like J-Cell's message, I've talked to kids about that, and I've heard from parents. Here's arguably the best player Canada's produced. And she didn't play her first year of college.
Yeah.
And then the next year she was in the top 10 for college player of the year. So,
and she slapped and then learned and then was a power hitter. And she made some very big adjustments. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that's where I look at some of the kids in our program. You go down and you're the best player on your team. You might be the best player in the province, but you get down there and you got
to time to watch.
It's you got to learn the game.
I think a lot of coaches down there, I'm just kind of obviously, you know, I haven't spoken to them to confirm, but I honestly think a lot of the programs down there feel that the first year, especially in 4-year schools, is a development time.
Yeah.
Right? Like they don't expect very many of their athletes to just come out of the gate being a top 9 player. I think mm-hmm. they They mm-hmm. see that development's needed. They need to fix this. They need to fix that. Yep. And if only they knew they were perfect when they left our program. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
To answer that on the podcast behalf, though, getting into a season where this is technically the only off season you guys have. It is a challenge lining up the three of our schedules, number one, and then trying to get a guest who can work in that schedule. So we will be able to get in a little bit ahead with podcasts here, I hope, through the summer. So good point. But as much as this kind of started as a bit of a, hey, let's do this while COVID's on because we're kind of bored. It could be fun. It's actually a lot more goes into this podcast than people think. So appreciate the feedback. If anyone wants to get us to be a booking agent to get us guests, I am all for it for sure.
Yeah, no, and we appreciate that feedback too. And as much as we appreciate the feedback, and as much as we appreciate our kids or other players listening to our podcast, and there's messages like that, if folks could see our faces when our guests are talking, we are absolutely glued to what they're saying, because it is such an important message. All the messages are so important, but I mean, we have been very lucky to get some phenomenal guests. Phenomenal. So, yeah. And it'll just keep going. It'll keep going. So I think if we, you know, I went through it, I think now we'll get into probably repeating ourselves a little bit. Mm-hmm.
But we're at an hour. Let's not forget.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. And I really appreciate, and I know Dino and the rest of the staff as well. We really appreciate when parents do give us feedback, good, bad. And I don't want to say
not
bad.
Lost on us.
It's opportunity. Every criticism that comes our way, constructive criticism comes our way, is an opportunity for us to get better. And that's all we're looking for. You know, we are very honored and taken aback many times that parents trust us so much with their daughters, for the most part, softball careers or futures. And it is, like I said, it's never lost on us that there are improvements that we can make. I think since this program started, we've never sat back on our laurels and said, yeah, this is the way we're going to do it all the time. No. Yeah, just do the same thing.
It'd be easier though, wouldn't it?
It sure would. It sure would. But we wouldn't be as busy.
Right.
Right. So, so I'm very happy with when we get the feedback, and I hope that people listen to this podcast. And if there's more feedback that comes from the podcast, mm-hmm. please let us know. So, yeah.
Well, good. And we'll get a whole new set of feedback after the next season too, which is great. But looking to improve on the program every year. Great job, guys. Great job, everybody. Thanks for submitting. Now, who wants to go first?
Heesh.
I'll go.
Okay.
Okay. So it has been well documented that I have been all over Nugent Hopkins. Mm-hmm. So I will eat a little bit of crow. He had a great game last night. He was very opportunistic. He scored the first goal 21 seconds in on Markstrom's pass to him.
Yeah. But was he just amazing on that?
No. That's what I'm saying. Let me finish. Yep. Right. So, and then he did have a really good puck battle in front on the winner. And very opportunistic on that goal. I believe that,
Yamamoto
did most of the work on that, getting that puck out front, which is awesome. So I will say this. I will take a little bit of a shot at myself for being so hard on Nuge, but as one former parent in our program said, you must have a new listener because Nugent Hopkins must have heard your last few podcasts, and I will take the credit of spurring him on to get him to the point where he needed to be last night. But another big win. I have no idea how the third goal went in. Just lost it in the sun, I guess, Smitty.
What was he? The only thing I didn't like about that is that he puts his hands up like was I screened or whatever.
I don't think he put his hands up. Where did that come from? I have no idea where that come from.
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah, right? I don't think, no, he's not the type of player that's going to blame anybody. No. Yeah. And that's good. That's a good thing when that happens, because when he has a bonehead play, what happens the next game?
Pitches a shutout.
Lights out.
Yep. Well, he made a couple of real big saves actually after that.
He sure did. That, you know, kept and the game, he's outplayed, right? Markstrom 100%. So sorry to Nuge a little bit, but you know, what have you done for me lately? That will be the theme. So hopefully he comes out and has
hopefully another one. Otherwise he'll be back on our podcast again.
That's right. Kane just keeps scoring, and now he's getting some puck luck, which is awesome, because the Russian tipped that in last night for us. It was really good. But I will say this. I will a little bit of a shout out to the Flames, which hurts me to say this. They did a really good job, I thought, on the top line last night, not giving them as much space. You could see that they were rushed a little bit, because Draisaitl and McDavid for sure did not have the same timing, swagger, confidence with the puck. There was a lot of mishandled pucks last night, especially in the offensive zone. So I think that's due to the lack of space and time that the Flames are putting on those two guys. But a win's a win. So there you go.
So how are you going to fit your hockey coaching career in with your softball coaching career?
Well, as long as we keep having the podcast. And I mean, Jay Woodcroft, he just phones me in the morning anyways. So it's just a quick hour conversation before the podcast. So no big deal.
I think the garbage can kick that you threw out there last week worked. I mean, and I have two parts of my shot. Number one, I'm not on Snapchat or Twitter. What's the other one? Instagram or anyway, there is a sad face meme that a filter you can put on, and they played Sutter's press conference with this sad face filter on, and I've never laughed so hard in my life. But one of the comments that he did make was when Lucic ran over Smith, and he said, "Hey, what was the penalty call?" And he was baiting them, and then he said, "Charging." He said, "Can you imagine what would have happened if he actually charged him?" And he did. I mean, do I blame Lucic? No, you're down. You're getting beat up. You have to try and change the momentum somehow. I get it. If he actually went into Smith, they'd still be picking up pieces of his body all over the backboards.
He said it. He said it. Yeah. Lucic said it. If I had charged him, neither one of us would be playing in it tonight.
Yeah. For very different reasons. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, interesting. My actual shot. So we're in Kelowna, which is a beautiful city, by the way. And it's full of beautiful people, and there's lots of great places to go. But we got a bit of a rain delay, and we went to go eat after our last game. And the only thing that we could find that was open was Domino's Pizza. I know. And I feel like there's got to be more of a need for people to be eating after the hours of 9 p.m. in the Okanagan. I don't know if it's a staffing issue. I don't know what the issue is, but it was a challenge, to be sure.
Yeah.
Not a
fan. Did you Google? Did you Google?
Well, we Googled a bit. We did some Googling. And mostly driving around from the park.
Google usually tells you, you know.
Yeah, but driving home from the park to the hotel, you just see lights all off. Nothing.
Where'd you stay?
The Ramada this time. Usually we're at the Canalta right across from Cactus Club, which is nice. Yeah. I will say this to Kelowna's credit. We went to the largest Domino's pizza I've ever seen. It was as big as like a Toys R Us. Ludicrous. So maybe that's why it's the only place open. It's really established a monopoly on the pizza game there. But
that's right. Maybe.
I don't have one, boys. I'm letting you down, but I just don't have one. I was focused on all this good, positive, negative stuff that we got from the parents this week. So
no negative.
I got nothing negative.
No, you were focused on positive, negative stuff. No, there was no negative.
No, there was good negative stuff. I mean, the negative
stuff.
It's
not negative. No, good negative is not a thing.
It's positive.
Yeah.
But you still have to call it something. It's negative. It's
constructive criticism.
When you go over the positives and whatever, what would you call it?
Yeah, but I can't.
Would you call it the negatives?
Would you say anything on the feedback was negative?
I would say some of the feedback was positive and some was negative, and the negative really helps us because we can work
on
that.
What was negative? What did they say was negative? I really hate
Tosh
this.
Did not Get out the schedules in time. There's one right there. I didn't bring that up. I didn't want to make you feel bad.
That's not a negative.
It is. It's a negative.
So what we have here is a difference of the definition of negative.
Yeah. Like
that's Donnie, right. Do you have that somewhere?
Well, I can Google it, you guys, but I feel like this is just I get what you're saying, Dean, and I get what you're saying, Tosh.
Positives and negatives. I don't know.
No, I get
it. If it's possible, it'd be nice to get some of the info sooner than later. I know this may be a tough request, as there's a lot of factors and scenarios before the info can be sent out. So yes, it's not a negative, but it's a wish. It's a constructive criticism.
I'm not putting. Yeah, I wasn't going by that one. I was going by the 75 calls that I got over, the winter.
So let's just
specifically
leave it
with this. Tosh needs to get the schedule out. So I was like, hey,
so
I'm going
to
do my best.
What I would
to
say
help.
Is to for definition's sake, for future branding, anything where there's a change that someone has suggested, we would file that in the negative. Doesn't mean it's a negative, but it's a, hey, here's some positives. Donnie and Razor are funny.
Things to improve upon.
Yeah. And on the changes or opportunities side, we could call it. Yeah. Here's some things we'd like to see. No negative. You're right. I get it. But you have to file it in one of those two columns. I get it, Dean.
Or call Tosh. Why call Dino?
There. Yeah. Maybe that's part of it. I'd do that. I'd let that go.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyhow, thank you everybody for your input.
It was awesome.
It's actually the basis of where we are today. That's from all the improvements over the years. So thank you for speaking out.
Awesome. Donnie, you good?
I'm great, guys.
Say goodnight, Donnie.
Good night, guys.
Thanks for listening to Tuesday Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloidminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.